And welcome to episode 98 of Tabletop Game Talk, a show where we talk about all types of topics in tabletop gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Josh.
And I'm Chris.
Today we're talking about non-gamer significant others. You love gaming, they don't. Or maybe just not to the same level. How did this happen? And what do you have... And what do you have a healthy relationship game-life balance? We'll talk about it. I just read all of the things on here. But first, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGG. And our thank you to our newest Patreon, Lance Morgan and Chris Lowe. And a huge thank you to all of our other patrons as well.
And thank you, Josh, for almost stumbling through my brilliant copy.
Oh, no, I know. There's nothing wrong with your copy at all. But, you know, it's great. I love that organic feel. You know, our listeners realize that it really is live to tape.
Yeah. Well, we got it. So we're doing a survey right now. And one of the comments we got on the survey is, you know, your scripted sections, they sound really obviously scripted, which is your part.
That is my part. Yes. But they are scripted.
I know, but I write brilliant copy. You should be able to make it sound organic and real, and you fail me every other week these days.
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you, sir? Anyway, happy 4th of July if you're in the U.S. and you're Woo-woo. Listening to this the day after it drops. Josh, do you have a Independence Day in... No, do you celebrate our 4th of July?
Oh, and I knew there was going to be some sort of sly comment about how you kicked off your shackles from those British overlords. But, you know, it's fine. You know, sometimes the children just have to leave the nest. And we're like, look, you're going to come crying to us later when it all goes wrong. And, you know...
We haven't.
We're still waiting for that day. We're still waiting for it. It's going to happen, though. It's going to happen.
Any day now. Any day. Yeah. I think we're a chip off the old block right now. No, I wasn't intending to be. It just occurred to me right now that, you know, is there like a 3rd of July in Britain or maybe a 5th of July in Britain where it's like, and now we're celebrating when we lost the colonies. But I'm assuming you don't have anything like that.
Not the colonies. We do have a funny one called Guy Fawkes Night, which is the 5th of November. And if you've seen V for Vendetta, which I'm sure lots of our geeky friends have, you'll remember that he says, remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason, and plot. And we celebrate the day that the Houses of Parliament almost got blown up a few hundred years ago by a man called Guy Fawkes. Luckily, it was averted.
Well, that seems like a great holiday.
It's great. We love it.
The Brits. We love you too. So anyway, happy 4th of July to all of those who celebrate the 4th of July. And we saw fireworks last weekend, well, the weekend before the 4th of July, from our back porch. We were able to sit on our back porch and watch the city fireworks for the first time. It's our new house. And we're like, wow, this is a great view of the 4th fireworks. Wow. So that was fun. Speaking of other things that are fun on the 4th of July, we will be flying to Orlando. Sydney and I will be flying to Orlando on the 4th of July for our third Dice Tower Con.
Woop woop.
Yep, we're really looking forward to it, which also means that next week is a Chris and Sydney double show. So she's going to do the Kickstarter episode with me, and she's going to do the regular show with me, and basically just like Origins. We're doing it a little different, but basically the same idea.
No, I love it. She's a great host. I'm glad she's on board.
Yep. We're working on talking to each other versus her talking to the audience and me talking to her. But we're professionals, and I appreciate her actually coming in, and she's getting good at it. I actually enjoy doing it. I'm really happy.
Yeah, she's a natural. Yeah.
Yep. Well, it kind of segues in with today's topic a little bit, which I'll get to. Because Sydney's obviously a gamer, but there's a lot of things about our relationship that fall into this particular show topic today.
Right.
Let's see. Gen Con is still coming up in August, and that is only, that's like 6 weeks away now. Just around the corner.
Wow. Crazy.
So if you're at Gen Con, join us on the 5th. Not the 5th, on that Friday at 5 o'clock. It might be the 5th, but all I know is it's the Friday of Gen Con at 5 o'clock. And Tickets, I think, maybe officially sold out, but if show up anyway. We showed mostly sold out last year, and we still had quite a few empty seats of people who weren't able to make it. So don't feel like you have to have a ticket. Just come join us. And I will say I'm bringing a lot of games to give away again this year. So that's my way of enticing. I like to buy our audience one person at a time. So it works out well that way. Speaking of buying our audience, our current giveaway, which I'm calling a bonus 100th episode giveaway, is going on right now. If you want to join this, it's very, very simple. And that actually, this is the only way to enter this giveaway, is you have to go and you have to fill out our survey. It's a quick 10-question survey. Once you fill it out, you can throw your email address in there and you automatically get entered. And the grand prize winner will get a $100 gift card to either Amazon or Cool Stuff Inc. You get to tell me which one. It's as long as it's digital. So it's just open to everybody, wherever you happen to be. And if we get 100 surveys or more filled out, there'll be two grand prize winners for $100 each. We're about halfway there. So don't delay, because you only have until our 100th episode. So this would be July 16th. That's the deadline for this. So no, July 14th is the deadline. We're going to do the episode on July 16th. So enter by going to the survey. It is in the show notes. Just open up your podcast thing, look at the link, or go to the webpage, tabletopgametalk.com. The link's right there. Click on it. Fill it out. You'll be entered. We'll also have four other winners. They'll win $25 gift cards. And yeah, we're getting a lot of really cool feedback there. And I really, really appreciate the people who have left comments, because the survey questions are pretty straightforward. I'm starting to get a pretty decent trend of all of those answers, but the comments are really where it's at. And I love reading those. All right. I think that's enough for announcements. Josh, take us to the next segment.
Right. Let's get some feedback about past episodes. And if you have feedback about this or any of our previous episodes, email us at podcast@tabletopgametalk.com or go to our Board Game Geek forums, easily found at tabletopgametalk.com/BGG. The first one is from Terry Ash on Asymmetric Games. He says, I don't think that a mechanic as simple as variable powers, like in Cosmic Encounters, gives it enough of a difference in playstyle to be considered an asymmetrical game, because the game is really more about bargaining and communication than anything. However, it can be asymmetrical in some cases when someone may have the power, like Loser, Antimatter, or Virus, where everyone else will team up on you because your power is so, so powerful.
Yeah, so in case anyone's wondering, Loser, Antimatter, and Viruses are powers inside of Cosmic Encounter, not different games. I started Googling different games, and I'm like, wait a minute, he's actually talking about specific powers that make it feel more asymmetric. But anyway, he continues.
He does, and he says, so, just because you have an asymmetrical mechanic in a game, it doesn't make it an asymmetrical game. For a game to be an asymmetrical game, you need to be able to pull out that mechanic of asymmetry from the game and have the game fall apart as a result. You can play Cosmic Encounter without powers, and it would be fun. Not as fun, but fun still. If you take a game like Vast or Chaos in the old world, the game becomes unplayable. It's integral to the game.
Yeah, and I think this is an issue of definition again, and I kind of love just discussing definitions. But this one for me, I definitely agree that if you can take out the asymmetric element of a game, the asymmetry isn't required for it, but right. I don't necessarily think it makes it not asymmetric if you have it in there. And one of the things that I think is an interesting game to look at for this is Santorini. When I teach Santorini, I teach it without player powers. It's just, here's how you play. These are the base mechanics. And you can play that game that way forever and never, ever add the player powers in there. But as soon as you do, it is now an asymmetric game. And it's something that you have to think about from both sides as to your power, what it's going to do, how it's going to affect my power. We are playing slightly different games or strategies because we have those player powers in there. So I don't think it's necessarily a blanket statement to say if you can remove the asymmetry and still have a game that it's not really asymmetric. But it's a good point to say some games, there's definitely the sliding scale, and a lot of those games the scale is really, really low on the asymmetric side.
Gotcha.
So, all right, we have one more from Robert McMillan. He says, I have to agree with Chris. I can just stop right there. Okay, so let's go. Oh, he does have some other stuff here we can read. He agrees with me that Magic is not an asymmetric game. He prefaces it with reasoning that he hasn't played for Magic in a while, but he says it's possible in theory for two of the exact same decks to compete against one another. Even with two completely different decks, the core rules are the same for each player: draw cards, summon creatures, etc. Now, I think that the idea that two exactly the same decks can play against each other, that's where I say that, yes, if you have that, it's definitely not an asymmetric game. Just because the rules are the same for two players, I'm not sure if that actually breaks the asymmetry of it. Maybe it does. He might have me convinced here, because like I said, Santorini, you're given this rule breaking power, and in Magic you don't necessarily get a rule breaking power, you just get cards that you can use within the rules.
Right.
It's an interesting one. He does mention in a game like Android Netrunner, which is asymmetrical in all ways, it's never possible for the same two decks to go against one another, because you're playing completely different types of decks, and you have different goals and different play strategies and different rules, and it's not the same. He says, also on a similar note, I don't think Dead of Winter is asymmetrical. While each character has a different special ability, I think this falls under the realm of variable powers and not necessarily asymmetry. I think it's possible for asymmetric games to have variable powers, but I don't think that the existence of such automatically makes it a game asymmetrical. Again, I don't necessarily disagree, but I think for every rule you try to make to this, I think it's pretty, you can always find something that breaks that rule as well. What do you think? You've played Dead of Winter, right? I think I forced you to play it.
Dead of Winter. I forget how asymmetrical it is. You know, I can think about games where you have slightly different powers. Like, you know, in Arcadia Quest, you know, each of your characters has different abilities and things. I mean, isn't that the core of it? As long as there's something different about your character, doesn't that make it asymmetrical? I don't really see his point there. I would imagine it would still be Dead of Winter would still be asymmetrical.
Yeah, well, with Dead of Winter, you have a player power, and you have a variable win condition. So everybody has a different win condition, everyone has a minor player power. Now, even if you have no traitor, you still have that, but now you're in a full co-op, and I think full co-ops, you kind of need that special something to give you that separate, that feel that your character is your own character.
Right.
If you have the traitor, and especially if you come out as a traitor, then you're definitely going asymmetric, because you have completely different goals. But if you're if you haven't come out as the traitor and you're still playing and everyone still thinks there is no traitor, or there is a traitor but they don't know who, it's a tricky one to know whether or not, like, I don't know if it's asymmetrical. Okay, I'm going to say it this way. When I'm playing Dead of Winter and I'm looking through the characters, there are some characters that I want to play and some characters I don't want to play. And right. To me, that feels asymmetrical. That feels like I'm choosing something before the game starts that is different than what everyone else is. And I have preferences and non-preferences against those characters.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt, yeah.
So maybe it is. I don't know. If it is, it's a very light asymmetrical game. I'll give it that. All right, let's get into the main topic here, because I'm actually looking forward to this, and I'm looking forward to your opinion and experience on this. So,
in this episode, we're non-gamer significant others. Not all of us are lucky enough to meet your wife at a board game party like Chris. So what do we do when one person loves the game and the other just doesn't? Is there really no hope? Do we need to pack up our game boxes, put them on the shelf in the basement corner, look sadly at them as we turn off the light and walk away without ever looking back? Hopefully not.
So I don't actually remember where this topic came up. I know that it's been a common request for a long, long time.
Right.
We also did an episode way, way back of what is that episode number? I want to say episode 62. See how quick I did that?
Like, that was that was almost as quick as Kitty, not quite.
Yeah, she's like boom, boom, boom. So in episode 62, we had a game title, or a episode titled Significant Others. And that's the one where we played the old switcheroo and had our significant others take over the show.
Right.
And they did a great job. But we never actually talked about what it's like to be in a relationship where you loved a game and your significant other doesn't necessarily have that same passion. And I'm using significant other because I don't like the word partner. And I wanted to be inclusive to whatever type of relationship you're in.
Right.
So just for, and I know it has like a ton of syllables, but we're going to call it SOs from now on.
Yeah, SOs. I like it. SOs. It's very Reddit.
So Josh, what do you think? Like, all right, so you came into gaming more or less, like board gaming, more or less after you met Gloria, right?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could say I was somewhat indoctrinated from an early age with things like chess. But I had only really played chess and other types of very mass market type games like Monopoly, like Ludo, which you call some other weird name. But I always knew I liked those kind of games. Like me and some friends played Risk, I guess, but these are all like very, very mainstream mass market games. And just before I came to the US a couple of years ago, already with Gloria for many years, I started going to a couple of board game meetups and I was introduced to the world of board gaming a little bit. And then I came here and I lived with you for a few months and you really introduced me to board gaming and you know, the rest is history.
So when you started going to board game meetups, was this something that you brought up saying, hey, Gloria, I'm going to go to these board game meetups, want to go? Or did you just say, well, I know you're not going to be interested in this, but you're doing work anyway, so I'm going to go to this meetup?
That's an interesting question. Did I ask Gloria whether she wanted to come to these board game meetups? I don't think I did. And she's shaking her head in the background. I'm sort of looking over at her. I didn't really say that to her. I think I knew her well enough by that point that I just knew that she wasn't going to want to sit down and kind of really get into some like strategic cerebral games. And not that I was really looking for that when I went. It was just a way to socialize and do something I hadn't done in a while and I knew that I'd probably like. But I got the sense that it wasn't really her thing just from knowing her.
So, and now that, and that's an interesting thing because you were essentially in a relationship and then got into board gaming. And then obviously I pulled you put your toe in and then I reached up, grabbed your entire leg and just dragged you under the water until you drowned.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like we're at a pool party and you just threw me in like with all my clothes on and like my smartphone in my pocket and stuff. It was really like, I don't know. It wasn't very, you know, you just really went for it and just threw me in at the deep end.
You took your sock off, you dipped your toe in. I figured you'd be all like, oh yeah, this will be fun. And just
Chris had a few at the party and he was like, that's it. He's going in. I don't care.
Yep. But you have been struggling against it ever since.
So. How dare you? I'm all in.
All in. Yes. So, but I think that's kind of an interesting, just, I don't know, it's an interesting dynamic. Because, and I'm going to relate this back to a lot of different things, because a lot of people they'll have that interest first. They meet somebody at, you know, some kind of function or event or someplace, not a board gaming function, and they'll hit it off and they'll become, you know, get in a relationship. And then you're bringing in this hobby with you that you at some point feel like, oh, I need to tell them about this other side of me that I haven't shared yet.
And there was an interesting story related to that because this was before I came to America and before I'd gone to those meetups. I found this game that I often talk about in the podcast called Warlight. And essentially, it's a variant of Risk that runs on a computer, but it plays very much like a board game. There's a 2D flat representation of the world map cut into pieces, but there's a fog of war element. So you can't see your enemy and you kind of have to keep uncovering the map until you find them. And there was a real competitive element. And I played this thing so much. And Gloria came over to me one day and goes, God, you're playing that thing so much. Like, it's taking up so much of your time. And then she went, wait, you're not a gamer, are you? And there was a real like, I don't know. There was a lot of weight behind that. And I guess she had like an idea of in her head and she hadn't really met much gamers of what a gamer would be like. But it certainly didn't seem very positive the way she put it. And I was really offended. I was like, how dare you? Like, you know, I'll play games if I want to. What's wrong with that? So I definitely think she had a bit of a stigma against it to begin with. Like, she's definitely shed that over the years. But yeah, it was a real like bristling point for me. I was like, how very dare you judge me?
But she had to come to you and notice, like, oh, I noticed that you you have this history on your browser that's taking you to this site that I'm a little concerned with. It's yeah. this gaming site.
Yes, exactly. That's my dirty little secret that she found. No, I mean, you know, I had it. I was there playing it with the screen was on all the time. I was very broad and open and brazen about it. But, you know, she's come around and, you know, she started to dip her toes in over the years with certain games that will get her in a little bit further than her sort of non-gamer status.
Yeah. Well, and I just think it's interesting. Because, so my last, you know, before Sydney, I dated two different girls for long term. Well, long term to me is, you know, about a year. Right. I had a rule. And so my rule was I would date a year and we either decided to go on or not go on at that point. And
wow. I mean, you're really into games and you just like rule sets so much. You put them into your life as well.
I could get in, we could do a whole separate side chat on my terrible relationship history. And by that, I mean my history of not being able to find relationships. Anyway, this is a tangent. I guess it's not really.
This is fine. We can turn this into a psych couch. I'm here for you, Chris. I'm here to listen to everything you've been through. We're good friends.
Okay. Well, to bring it back to the subject, because that's what I do. Like, we're talking about non-gaming significant others. And before Sydney, the two previous people I were dating, they were not gamers when I met them. Right. And so the first one, you know, she didn't do really any kind of board gaming. And I'm like, do you know this thing of Dungeons and Dragons? You know, no, what is that? Let me show you. Let me introduce you to this game. And right. I took her to a convention. Her very first game was playing at a convention with like 500 other people. We were at a table. Like, wow. She'd never played before, sat down, and she took to it. Now, to be completely honest, I'm not sure if she took to it because she was just trying to do what she thought I wanted her to do,
right.
or if she really liked it. I think there was a combination of both because we ended up playing together for years. Even after we broke up, she was a player in my campaign and we played for another year after we had broken up.
Wow, that's amicable.
Yes. So she was definitely like the social aspect was something that was really important to her. She really liked like hanging out with people and, you know, getting together with the same group. But she got into the game as well and like developing her character became something that she really liked to do.
Right.
So that actually went over quite well as far as like introducing someone to the hobby. The second one, not as well. She never really took to the whole gaming thing at all. It wasn't something that interested her. You know, again, I was still in Dungeons and Dragons more than anything else at the time. And she played maybe once or twice, but you could tell that she just wasn't getting it. Didn't want to try to get it. And that was not the deal breaker in the relationship. There were other issues, several other things. Like, I would never let gaming be a deal breaker in any way.
Sure.
But it is interesting.
It's me or the board games.
Yeah, you pick. We either play games
Chris
on the table.
The board games.
Yeah. We're either playing games on the table or playing games in real life. I don't care. I shall mess with your heart. No, that's really not me. But I never tried to hide it. I always like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I think at some point I just decided, like, this is who I am. And I would rather let someone know this is a hobby, this is what I like early on. And if they have a problem with that, let's deal with that at the beginning as opposed to hide a part of myself that's important to me.
Yeah.
Just because I'm afraid of what someone else might think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely the right way to deal with it.
So, and then I don't have to wait for them to walk up behind me. It's like, are those polyhedral dice you're rolling? Because I have my set right here. Let's play. No, that has never actually happened.
That would be actually, amazing.
That actually did happen with Sydney. I think that's the difference. When I met Sydney, It was, we met at a board game party, as was mentioned, and she was playing Werewolf and I was moderating it. She got taken out pretty early and we started talking about the game. I started talking about how I run a Dungeons and Dragons game at the local game store. She's like, oh, I would love to come play. I'm like, yeah, come over on Saturday. I'll be running the game. I said this in such a way where I'm like, she's just being friendly and isn't taking me seriously, right. Which when she showed up, that was like, oh, cool. She's coming to play the game. Great. And then we started hanging out and all of a sudden we were dating and I didn't realize this. And then, well, now we're married. But
the story of Chris being very dense in the beginning of his relationship with Sydney.
Yep.
Oh, it's a good one.
So, you know, and Dungeons and Dragons forming relationships. Actually, at the same game of the first girlfriend I was talking about, there were two players there that met at my table, started dating at my table. Wow. When he was ready to propose, he wrote me, said, hey, I'm going to propose. Will you run a game and start the proposal process? Where we put together a game. And so she got like, I gave out these locked boxes, which was his idea. I gave out these locked boxes to all the different players and there was something right. in each one of them. And we were going around and as they were going through the adventure, everyone got the code to their box and unlocked it and they unlocked an item. And her box was like, oh, we're out of time. We'll pick this up. I promise we'll get to your box first right after we pick up the next session. But we'll definitely pick this up. We just don't have enough time to finish. And the first clue to the basically scavenger hunt for the proposal was in that box. So she brought it home that day and not knowing, she was actually kind of frustrated that she didn't get to find out what was in it. And then over time, she was given the combination to it, which then kicked off the whole thing, and now they're married.
Oh my God, that's so elaborate and amazing. What a great idea.
It wasn't my idea to do it. It was his idea, sure. But I was more than happy to be part of it. And it's like gaming brings people together. Like that's really what we're getting to. We're not talking about the non-gamers, though. We're just talking about the game. We have to start with that, though.
We do. We do. And, you know, there is definitely crossover. And like you said, you know, you had a couple of relationships where some with, you know, non-gamers and some with super gamers.
Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting is a lot of those early relationships, like I was into Dungeons and Dragons at that point, but even earlier than that, I went through a phase where I liked gaming, but I wasn't really an active gamer. And right. depending on who I met at the time, I may have never become an active gamer. Right. Like if I had met someone who didn't have the same interests or that we were interested in something else that we both were interested in, I may never have tried to bring them into gaming at all because it wasn't something that was actively important to me at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely went through many decades of not playing board games, despite being definitely the kind of person with the kind of temperament who would really get into and could sit down and play any game. I do prefer more casual kind of games, but then I also like cerebral games. So I kind of all over the map. But I think, you know, sometimes it just takes certain events or certain groups of people that you know, really form friendships with, like I have with you, to then kind of go further down the rabbit hole.
So let's talk about significant others that are not into gaming. And I want I want to put this in a situation where it's easy to talk about, you know, not into gaming. I think it's easier to understand, though, especially for significant others that might be listening, if we talk about it in different hobbies. And I think one of the most obvious ones to talk about is sports.
Right.
It's so often that you get into a relationship and one person, and I'm trying to be like gender agnostic and all of that. So I'm using a lot of theys and that. And
what you're saying, you're going to say men are really into sports. Well, to be honest, they kind of are. And yeah, I'll admit to that.
If we're speaking statistically, it is not uncommon for the guy in the relationship to really like sports and the girl in the relationship to not be interested in sports at all.
Right. And we can certainly find exceptions to the rule, but generalizing. Yeah.
If we're going to generalize. But I've met many, many situations where that is flipped, where the girl is far more in the sports than the guys, or they're following different sports. So I'm going to use generalities and just say one person is into sports, the other person is not into sports.
Yes.
In that situation, it's not necessarily necessary for that person who's into sports to bring that other person into their hobby.
Right.
like, I have a passion for sports team Omega, whatever it happens to be. If I'm dating someone and they don't care about sports team Omega, but they care, but they are not trying to stop me from doing that, from going out on Sundays and watching the game or whatever the case may be, our relationship is going to be completely fine and possibly healthier.
Right.
Because she's going to have her interests. I'm going to have my interests.
Right.
And having, you know, varying interests is not a bad thing.
Yeah. You don't want to become too codependent. You know, I think that's definitely a pitfall you can fall into. And maybe it works for some people. But yeah, I agree. I think having some healthy, you know, alone time and different interests can make things stronger.
Yeah. And there's a ton of different ways you can support that person. So if you're the person that's not interested in sports, really, you should just let your significant other do what they want to do within that hobby. As long as it's not getting in the way of like vital pieces of your relationship, it's like, all right, you are spending, you know, 5 nights a week at the local sports pub watching the game, and I'm sitting at home alone. That can be a concern. That's a problem.
Right.
But as long as you're able to balance that, I think that you can look to that as a very healthy way of modeling your gaming life and your non-gaming life.
Yeah. So basically you're saying you can't go 6 nights a week to play with all the werewolf floozies because, you know, that might hurt your relationship. You know, your partner might get jealous or something, right?
Exactly. Especially when you come back and it's like, huh. I knew Adam was the werewolf. I knew it. But I kept accusing him. And he's like, no. And everyone else believed him. And then all of a sudden, I'm dead. And she looks at you like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I don't care.
Did you commit a string of murders? This is so weird.
Yeah. Do I need to call somebody for help? Because I have 911 like always dialed on my phone now.
Do you need help? Because werewolves aren't real. So.
You know, one of my favorite things with the whole sports thing is fantasy sports is just D&D for jocks.
Oh, wow.
Have you played fantasy, like fantasy football, fantasy soccer, any of the fantasy sports stuff?
I haven't. No, that sounds interesting.
You don't know about fantasy sports?
Oh, sorry. We just call it something else, I guess. But like, yeah, I get what you mean now. You have like your own fake team that you've had a certain amount of money to buy the players or however it works.
Right.
And then you compete against each other's teams. Oh, it's great fun. And it's great. And all the stat crunching and the competitiveness. Oh, it's great fun.
Yes. So there are people that are like super into like fantasy football is probably the most popular, at least in the States that I know of, that are just like into this. And during football season, they're managing their league. They're watching every game they can. They're shouting at random players are not even rooting for teams. And if you're not into fantasy football, even if you're into football, you don't get it. You don't understand what they're saying or doing. I love fantasy football. I think it's a great way to like get more in the game. And if you want to learn more about football, play fantasy football, but it's that same concept of I'm into this hobby. I'm into this game that I really, really love, and you're not. And there can be this kind of like disconnect. And what the best way to handle this in my mind, and maybe this isn't the best way of handling it, but you know, I like antagonizing people a little bit, but I also like being antagonized. You know, if I'm into fantasy football and someone wants to tease me about it, by all means, tease me about it. Like I have a good sense of humor about it. It's like, yeah, but I have to make the right trades because otherwise my wide receiver is going to be on the bench. I'm not going to get any points for that. And so-and-so quarterback, he's not going to carry the team anymore because he just got injured. And oh my God, I got to get a new tight end. What is going on with my team?
Yeah, there's something really min-maxy about that kind of thing. Like I did fantasy football for a while, obviously the great British kind of football. And it was great, yeah, just that min-maxing thing, you know? And there's also a sort of element of, like, almost Vegas-style rolling the dice as well. And then you get, like you say, you get into these games that you wouldn't normally cheer for because, you know, it's like players from different teams that you don't support. Yeah, it really, really did get me more into the game.
So, and what I'm getting at here is, more than anything is this is an incredibly common problem, way more than a board game because, honestly, there are probably literally millions of more people playing fantasy sports than playing Catan.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at it like in a what is a symmetry? What is the word I'm looking for? It means the same, analogous, analytically. Oh, yes.
There you go.
I can't talk. But that is kind of a similar situation. Okay.
So I think I've just looked at some bullet points here that have made me chuckle because we've got three bullet points. How do you get your SO into games? How do you keep your own gaming hobby going in spite of your SO? And then the third one, how do you get rid of your SO for a new gaming SO? Chris, you've gone really dark here. This is like the opposite of good advice columns for people's relationships. You're like a bad advice agony uncle or whatever you call it.
Josh, these are inner thoughts. We're not supposed to share them.
Oh, they were in that special color that I wasn't meant to read. Whoops.
Well, the third one is sort of a tongue-in-cheek, but let's talk about the first one. How do you get your SO into games? Now, well, I want to go ahead.
You have to be in tune to them, I think. You know, you just really have to like know what kind of things match their temperament and what kind of things they're going to like. You know, someone in the thread, and I forget exactly who said it, was talking about the fact that actually, you know, hardcore gamers can often be the reason that their SO isn't into games, because the hardcore gamer, if they're not being attuned to their SO, is maybe just pushing the games that they like, and that isn't a game that their SO is going to like ever. And so they're not kind of, you know, meeting their SO where they are and kind of like working with their style or temperament. They're just like, oh, I love these games, you have to love them too.
Yeah. Well, Steve mentioned that his wife would play like Canasta and Uno, and you know, which are games. Yep. Actually, Canasta, I haven't played it, but I've played a ton of variants on such, which are actually great games. They're like rummy variants, I believe.
Right.
But Uno is a game. I'm just going to say Uno is a game. But eventually what Steve realized is that his wife wasn't necessarily a non-gamer. She just had different tastes in games than he did. So... Right. Where he was, you know, the fantasy football stats all the way person, she was, oh, I'm going to root for the red team because I've always liked the red team. And I say the red team, not like arbitrarily looking at the TV and saying red, just whatever team she knew in her hometown team or something.
Right.
So it's like, and even then I don't want to watch the game, but mm-hmm. if they win, great. Win one for the hometown type of thing.
Right.
But eventually, if you figure that out, you'd be like, hey, the red team is playing tonight, and there's a group of us that are getting together from the fantasy football club. And I'm going to use a lot of, you know, analogies and relating back to that. But, you know, we're getting together to watch the game. Would you like to come with me and, you know, kind of ease that person in? And you can do that in board gaming as well, saying, hey, we're a group of friends are getting together. We're not going to be playing Twilight Imperium tonight. And she'd be like, Twilight what? Huh? And he was like, oh, no, we're going to play this new thing called Codenames. And it might be something that you find interesting. It's really easy to learn, and it's like a group game. Would you like to come along and meet my group? So there's a lot of ways that you can do that in like kind of a slower way, but you have to realize that level, right? Where...
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've done that with Gloria before.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, she showed an interest in word games, and she got hooked on Words with Friends, which was a Facebook game that everyone was loving and into at a certain year. I forget which year it was. Somewhere between 2005 and 2015, in that 10-year range.
In that 10-year range.
And anyway, she still plays it to this day with friends on Facebook. But, you know, so I just saw how much she loved it. And she played it all the time. Like, she has like 6 or 7 or 8 games going at one time. And I was like, wow, she really loves word games. And she was getting better and better. And she was really competitive about it. So I was like, clearly, you know, she's into a certain type of game. It's still a game, even if it's not, you know, miniatures game or something. And so I was like, I need to find something that meets us in the middle that, you know, because I'm not a huge fan of word games. I like them enough, but I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to play them. So, you know, I found this game, Letter Tycoon, and, you know, there's a bit more strategy involved, but it is forming words. But that extra element of strategy gives me something that I'm into, and the word game element gives her something she's into. And we've enjoyed playing that. And you even got us another game, Wordsy, that was even easier and quicker to play. And that was great. And you can whip that out at parties. And it's just, you know, you pick it up in moments. So it's definitely on that casual end. And, you know, if I'd tried to, you know, get her to play Blood Rage, I'm sure she would have, like, you know, paled a little bit at the sort of 30-minute mark of me explaining, like, half the rules to her. And then, like, oh, what have I gotten myself into? And there's so much to remember. And, you know, I sometimes get like that when you are explaining a new game to me that has a ton of rules. I'm like, my eyes are glazing over. I'm not listening to anything you're saying. And then I'm like, we're starting to play the game. And I'm like, I have no idea how to play now. Oh, what's going to happen here? Am I going to enjoy this? By the end of it, I love it. But, you know, sometimes you've just got to start casual and wherever your significant other is. And so that compromise, I think, has allowed us to sort of dip our toes in and play together.
Yep. Well, you bring up a good point, because I think if we're in a relationship with someone, they obviously care enough to care about our interests. Even if they're not interested in our interests, yep, they care about us, so our interests are important to them. I think... And Gloria is no exception. So, you know, I use Gloria as an example because really Scrabble is her game, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you can go from Scrabble to try to, like, ease away from that. But she will do things, like, for my birthday this year. Yep. She learned Rising Sun.
Right.
And you guys sat with us and played Rising Sun. It was a 7-player game. And she played through the whole thing, which is about as far away from Scrabble as you get.
Yeah.
At no real point did she understand exactly why she was doing so good. She actually did pretty good, though, if I remember correctly.
I think so. Yeah, she definitely wasn't last.
But she didn't understand anything that was really going on. And we were kind of helping her along and almost playing her characters for her, her side for her in a lot of cases.
Yep.
And in that case, I appreciate the fact that she was, like, willing to play this game with us. Also, if it's also not a game where, if I really wanted to get her into gaming, I shouldn't have pulled that game out.
Oh, no. And it was your birthday and you were like, I want to play this game. So, you know, you pulled rank at that moment. That was okay.
Well, sure. But I also had a different interest. It was a selfish interest at the time. Like, I just wanted to get it to the table again because I really liked it. And there was a group of... Like, there were 6 of us, and I'm like, I want to play a big game of this for my birthday. Yeah. That's what I want to do. But if I'm trying to get my significant other into something, and it's my birthday, and she's like, okay, I'll play whatever you want. This is your birthday. We'll do it. If I really want her to get hooked on something, I should probably start with something that I know that she's going to like, and I'm also going to enjoy as well.
Yeah. And I found another element that can kind of attack for a method of attack for me and Gloria in that sense. You know, I recently realized that she does actually really like dexterity games. We just moved into a new apartment and they have a skee ball thing that I had never even played before because we don't have those in the UK. And she was loving it. She was getting so excited. And I was like, wait, this is a dexterity game. That's what all these kind of games are. And like shuffleboard and things like that. And I love Can Jam. And like, I'd found these new, you know, like yard games that I'd never heard of before. And I've really started getting into yard games again. And I was like, actually, we both really like dexterity games. And now I'm thinking to myself, I can go out and look up, you know, Dice Tower and Tom Vassell's like top 10 dexterity games and really like find something that I think we'll both like. And that's definitely my next like form of attack. I'm like, I've got to find a good dexterity game for us.
You should check out... why is this escaping me? Listen to this week's Kickstarter episode, and Sydney's backing it. I want to say it's war something, space
war something.
Ward space war, awesome number
oh,
2.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there was like a horseshoe-shaped board. We both talked about it on the episode.
Gravity Warfare.
There we go, Gravity Warfare.
Yeah, that I think Gloria would actually like that. It's a... Yeah. And it's sci-fi, and there's enough game there where I think you would actually like it as well.
Yeah.
So, well, another thing with Gloria, and we're using her as an example, but I'm hoping that people can kind of infer, she had a interest in Star Wars. Like, she likes Star Wars.
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
How dare you.
Star Trek, sorry. She likes Star Trek. So, if we wanted to play a game with her that was a little deeper, if it was a Star Trek game, she was far more willing to say, okay, I'll play this game because I understand the world it's in already and I have something to relate it to.
Absolutely, yeah, and it definitely did draw her in, and she could understand that some of the Klingon cards were, you know, the more aggressive cards because she understood that that's what the race is all about. So yeah, she really did get into that one.
So yeah, and I think that is really, it's just about knowing your significant other's like interest more than anything else. I think Eric actually says this better than anyone. That like I really just like this quote: calling someone who plays games with you once in a while a non-gamer is a little like calling someone who goes to only a couple football games a year not a fan because they don't have an annual season pass.
Yeah, he was saying, like, I think of us alpha gamers sometimes have to remind ourselves that we are the ones with a special hobby. We are the foodies, the sport fanatics, hunters, or antique collectors. And having a partner who is not as into our particular hobby as we are is pretty standard as far as relationships goes. I mean, it's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, it's back to the I love football. I'm going to play fantasy football. I'm going to be, like, for those football season, I am just a football maniac. And your significant other being like, yeah, I like watching a game every once in a while, but I'm not, like, it's not the center of my life.
Right.
And we can do that with gaming, especially those of us that is, like, really, really in the hobby. Mm. I listen to a half a dozen gaming podcasts a week. I do two of them. I buy a new game at least every week. I back something in Kickstarter every week. Nobody I meet is going to keep up with that. Not even Sydney.
Right.
So, like, and not you, not Kitty, you know, that's sort of the point is I don't even really know what it is. It's just so much. I really enjoy following this hobby. I enjoy exploring it. I enjoy seeing new things. I enjoy supporting it.
Right.
And I don't expect anyone else to do that.
Right.
You know, I have best friends, like one of my best friends, she loves animals. So she volunteers at an animal shelter every single week. And I get to hear stories. And I usually get in air quotes, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I hear all these stories about, you know, how this dog came in or that cat had a miserable life or, you know, every once in a while I get to hear good stories, but usually it's all bad because it's at an animal shelter. And, but that is her life, right? That is what that's her passion. And I support that passion as much as I can, but I'm never going to feel the same level of passion as that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Yeah, it's like, you know, for me and Gloria, some of my intense passions are any company run by Elon Musk. So I'm always following Tesla and SpaceX. And it got to the point where we live in Chicago, and I heard early one day morning that he was going to be announced that his company, the Boring Company, won a contract to do a tunnel between Chicago downtown and O'Hare, and they were going to announce it in the city at 1 o'clock. And I like spent like the morning like hustling my way into this announcement. Like I called up CTA Media and told them I was a freelance journalist, even though I'm not. And I managed to hustle my way into this like press release conference thing and like saw him in the person like across the room. It was crazy. I got my phone out, took a video and stuff. And like I can talk to Gloria about it, and she's interested in the companies and she's interested in him, but she's never going to, like, you know, on the Q1 earnings call for Tesla the other day, something amazing happened because this one analyst said this, and then Elon's response was hilarious. And then she's like, whatever, man, like Q1 earnings report, like you're getting too far into the weeds now. You've lost me.
Yep. Well, and I can still do that too. Like when I'll talk to Sydney about, you know, basically usually game designs or how to modify a game or, yeah, we played that. She's like, I really liked that game. I'm like, I would have liked it, but I think this rule was a little bit fiddly or they could have streamlined this particular thing. And she'll look at me like, yeah, but the game is fine. I'm like, okay, it is. But it could be so much better if this was just a little bit like this or whatever. Yeah. So we have to understand that about ourselves, that we can be a little overpassionate about our hobby sometimes.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I like Justin's quote too. Like he says, the fact that my wife will occasionally play a game with me doesn't necessarily make her a gamer, but it does make her a good wife.
Absolutely.
I think that's really kind of what we're getting at here is you may have someone that isn't into games as much as you are.
Right.
But don't think of that as they're just not into games at all. Think of it as a way of saying, let's find things where we kind of meet in the middle on. And You don't have to play games with me all the time. Maybe it's a birthday thing. Maybe it's once a month. Maybe you let me have friends over to the house and we're going to have a board game session and you're just kind of in the room and passing through from time to time just to, you know, be present.
Yeah. That sounds like a sort of a Mad Men episode where the wife, they're all playing poker in the basement and the wife brings in like milk and cookies or whatever, or some whiskey or something.
It's actually more of an example with, and I totally see what you're saying. I didn't really mean it that way. Again.
No, I know you didn't. I just like ribbing you.
Non-gender SOs. So when we were playing Dungeons and Dragons, Spencer was in my game and Kitty wasn't interested in playing. But she also, Kitty, Spencer, and I lived together there for quite some time, so we were playing there, and she would always be around, and she liked hanging out with the group, and she liked talking to the group, and she really liked cooking and stuff too, so she would make us snacks and things, but that's just because she wanted to, we never asked for it. And eventually, she decided that she wanted to sit down and try playing, because she saw that we were all having, you know, a lot of fun playing D&D, and she's like, okay, fine, if you guys start a new campaign, I'll play. And... you know, but it was more just the support that she had. She made it a very friendly environment for the game to happen at her place once a week. And that is support enough in a lot of cases.
Right. And that's also, and that's obviously your story was coming from a personal one, but it's also like your point was like, it's almost like you can get there by osmosis. You don't have to sit them down and get them to the table of the hardest core game ever. Just to begin with, you know, they could just be, like you said, in the room experiencing you and your friends having fun, and they might be intrigued enough over time to give it a go at some point. So it's definitely a way you can ease people in, I think.
Yep. All right, let's go to the second bullet point on my list here. Even though we're almost at the end of the show, how do you keep your own gaming hobby going in spite of your significant other? And I think I've put this together in such a way where it sounds antagonizing, but obviously we're not. And I think we've talked about this a little bit.
Right.
Really, it goes back to everybody has hobbies and everybody has interests of their own. And I think one of the things you can do, now I'm not an expert on relationships at all.
But this whole podcast has been Chris's relationship advice. Call him at 312-57... No, kidding.
Wait a minute. That's almost my number. No, it's not. I have a 616 number. I'm from Michigan. But what I will say is I think that healthy couples have individual interests. You know, we talked about it. It's completely fine. I think that if you are in a relationship with somebody and they don't want to be playing games with you all the time, and I'll be honest, Sydney and I, we play games together fairly often, way more often now than we used to, but we are far more likely to play a board game when there's other people around than we are if we're just sitting together on the couch.
Right.
Like, there are a few types of games that we can just pull out and we can play at any given point. But at the end of a day, usually we're both exhausted. We're like, let's just sit down, watch Stephen Colbert, and then go to sleep. Like, it's like, we could play this game, but then I'm going to have to teach the rules and to learn the rules. Or we can play this other game that we've played before, but it's not that great a game. Do we really want to take the time to set it up? Let's just sit on the couch. However... if there are people over and they're over because we've scheduled to play games, we're like both into it and we love what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think you're being a little bit coy because I'm not sure I believe this, this story of you two, because at least from where I'm sitting and how I've experienced you two, you guys do play a lot of games. I don't know a single couple that even comes close to you. I'm not saying that you don't have those moments when you sit on your couch being like, oh God, no, we can't bring out a game. But I'm like impressed about how much you guys actually play in any given week.
Certainly. We definitely play games more than most couples. I will give you that. But you think it's like, Chris has a podcast. We met at a board gaming party. Sydney loves going to gaming conventions. You know, you'd think we'd be like constantly playing games.
Right.
Which isn't necessarily the case. Biggest reason, though, is because of our gaming types. I always want to play something new. She always wants to play something that we've already played before.
Right.
So the overlap for us is finding something that is easy enough where I can teach it because it's new and I'm you know, usually I convince her, I'm like, oh, I need to play this game for Kickstarter. Can you please play it with me? And then she'd be like, oh, yeah, if it's for the podcast, sure.
Right.
Or something that she's like, I want to play this game again. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like that. I'll definitely play that again.
Right.
And usually it's the first one because she's not very, she's okay if I'm like, well, I really need to play this game. She's like, all right, fine, we'll play this game.
Yeah, it's very sweet of her.
Yeah. But as I was getting into, how do you keep your own hobby going? And, you know, if your significant other isn't into it as much, just make plans for it. You know, give yourself a night out a month and say, look, I'm going to go out with the guys on Saturday and we're going to be playing, again, I don't mean that to be the gender neutral guys, go out with the gaming group on Saturday and, you know, I will sit with the kids next Saturday and you can do whatever. You know, you could just kind of trade it off. You make that arrangement where you both give yourselves, give each other time to do this and plan. Like a lot of people will talk about like, well, I just don't have time to play games. Sure. None of us have time to do anything unless we plan to do it. So if you put something on the calendar, say, hey, I'm getting a group together this day, we're going to start and we're going to play three different games all afternoon on Saturday. You will make that happen if you put it on the calendar and plan for it to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're in a great relationship, your partner's going to be very supportive of it. I like how Caleb actually mentions that his SO said, at least it's not drugs, she says, as they spend $400 in the Batman's Kickstarter.
Exactly.
That was very supportive.
Yes. And that's the kind of person you want to stick around with forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sydney does not look at my Kickstarter spending at all. I'm like, it's for the podcast. And she's like, whatever.
Yeah, through gritted teeth. But I mean, you know, you've reformed yourself somewhat since your previous hobby, you know, habits. I think you cut down significantly. So bravo for doing that.
Yeah, I will say impromptu answering a question, and I don't know who asked the question, but I think it was one of the survey answers. The question was, How do I afford all of the games I buy? I must be rich. I'm not rich. I just don't have much of other hobbies or interests, and I don't have kids, and I'm in my 40s and have a decent job for my 40s. So it's really just where all my disposable income goes. Like it's not like I'm...
It's just, some people spend their money on different things. You know, people would always say to Gloria, she travels a ton. And they're like, how do you do it? And she's like, that's because that's what I spend my money on. Like, I don't spend my money on other things. That's how I afford it, you know?
Yep. So, and it's silly. I mean, again, we talk about, you know, different levels of interest in gaming. My level of gaming is I will put essentially all of my disposable income into games because it's an enjoyable pastime. Like if I'm not working or doing something I have to do, I'm probably playing a game, reading rules for a game, researching games, painting something for games because it's just my way of like unraveling all the stress. My day job is actually I'm in charge of basically technical projects that are for in some cases billion-dollar companies. Like my day job is pretty stressing. And I get to go home and just put that all away and pull out a deck builder and play a game at night and be happy about it and then talk about it on podcasts. And somehow I'm doing two podcasts a week now, which is crazy.
Well, you've always been a very industrious person, Chris. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I thought it was going to make life easier splitting it into two. It really just doubles my work. So,
yep.
But I'm trying to keep you and Kitty like not as crazy busy, although we're going to change some stuff up and post episode 100, which is only two episodes away. Can you believe that?
Ooh,
anyway.
So close.
All right. I think the last question we have to address it. We have about 2 minutes. How do you get rid of your SO for a new gaming SO?
Ooh, it's an elaborate one. I feel like there's a whole podcast on its own, Chris. That's, it's sort of like a game of Clue. And maybe an episode of Dexter or World Into One.
That's true. Yep, you're right. We're going to save this for a future episode.
And if anyone's got any great ideas, email us at
podcast@tabletopgame.com.
There you go.
All right. So on that note, I want to see if we've missed anything here. Thanks everyone for the input on this episode. It was very, very useful, even if we haven't called you out directly. Like, we have limited experiences. Of course, we have friends and, you know, in various levels of, you know, gamer, non-gamer relationships and things like that. But in every relationship's a little bit different. A lot of what we did today was, you know, some of it was tongue-in-cheek, some of it was anecdotal. But just, you're not in a bad spot if you have a great SO who doesn't game, as long as they support you in the things that are most important to you, whether that be gaming or anything else. You know, that's really what it's all about. Support each other in the things that you like. All right. On that note, if you want to follow us, you can follow us at Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter. Actually, let's do this a different way. You can follow us at Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK. Kitty is at Lawful Good Mom, and I'm at Game Master Chris. And Josh, are you doing your Josh is Blonde? Is that your Twitter handle
yes,
official?
Yes, just Josh is Blonde. Yeah, I'm not going to make a special one yet.
All right. So Josh is Blonde is you. I saw you tweet the other day.
Oh, yes.
I'm like,
a rare occurrence.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, Josh did something. I'll leave it at that. Josh did something. I'm so mean to you. I don't even know why you like me. Oh, wait, you don't.
It's fine. It's fine. It just rolls off my back.
Yeah, I haven't trained that way. Anyway, if you'd like to support us and our absurdity, you can do that at tabletopgametalk.com/Patreon. All of our patrons are automatically entered into all of our, I'm going to say, monthly giveaways, because the bonus 100th episode giveaway doesn't count for that one. And for the rest of this, Josh is going to speed read the names, because we're going to see how fast we can do this.
I totally am.
You can do the other stuff a little bit more at your
pace. Indeed. Table Talk Game Talk is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Thanks for listening, and remember, we love your feedback, so email us with comments or questions at podcast@tabletopgametalk.com. Finally, a huge thank you to our patrons: Emil Jiljam, George, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, the SGG, Sam from New York, Jason Strong, Terrence Milton, The Steven Sykes, Michael Ohl, Trevor Olson, Brian Arnold, Sean P. Kelly, Daniel Shepard, C. Marie, Rudy Lou, Benjamin Heimowitz, Jerry Huang, Stephen Phillips, Caleb O'Brien, Jennifer Engelbrook, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong, Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, Carl Hammond, David Recky, Lance Morgan, Nick Krischer, David Sellers, Jason Rodney, Michael Yanikowski, Miles Clark, Cindy Lum, Phil Swalswell, Jordan Livingston, Greg Kamai, Zoe Ing, Chad Covey, Anne Reynolds, Hyrek Hoffman, Andrew Dong, Christopher Vincent, Naz, Fryce Hinton, Sean Peck, Toby Croft, Alex Solander, Adam Kribles, Mike Smith, Christian Mayer, Trevor Davis, Wesley Taylor, Tim Verling, Lance Morgan, and Chris Lowe. Until next week, when we talk about games played at Dice Tower Con, keep playing games and having fun.
Good night. So now I get to go downstairs because behind the peek behind the curtain, I'm sitting on my bed in my bedroom because the rest of my family, I have my family in town, and they're cooking s'mores in the backyard in the fire pit.
Oh, it's like a real camping trip in Chris's backyard.
I know, it's going to be awesome. So I'm going to bring my computer, I'm going to bring our audio files, and I'm going to be editing a podcast, posting a vlog, and posting this because this is going to go live in 7 hours.
Good luck and Godspeed.